Let us turn in the scriptures now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're reading verses 20 through 34. He's already began his defense in reminding you of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of our own bodies who are in union with Christ. And how he continues that. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. These are the words of God. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who put all things in subjection to him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? Why are we also in danger every hour? I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Those are the words of the Lord to us from this passage. The last passage, if you remember, was asking what was true if the dead in Christ are not raised. It's hypothetical. If the dead are not raised, what is true? And it means that Christ is not raised, and that our faith in Christ, in the gospel, is in vain, and there is hope. There's no hope. And we of all men are most to be pitied. That's what Paul taught us, the Lord through Paul taught us. But verse 20, we began here. If the dead in Christ, remembering back in the passage before, if the dead in Christ are not raised, Christ is not raised, but that is not reality. Reality is verse 20. Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who are asleep, those who are already have died in Christ. That is, Christ being raised means that all who are in union with Christ, their bodies will be raised up from the dead as well. It says here, at his coming, they will be raised up in verse 23. Christ being the first fruits. And after that, the dead in Christ will be raised up. And notice the union of Christ's language in verse 22 might remind you of Romans 5. At first you were Christian in union with Adam. And because he sinned and died, therefore you died in him because you sinned. And so in union with Christ, all who believe the gospel have union with Christ. In union with Christ, all will be made alive because Christ died for your sins, which deserve death, and rose from the dead to give you life. And so what good news we have at the second coming, which is yet to come. And Christ thankfully says, I am coming quickly, as we have just read in Revelation. He has already won the victory over all rule and authority and power. That's It is over Satan and all his followers, all those who oppose Christ. But at the second coming, he will abolish them forever. He's already won the victory. He's already defeated them, but he will abolish them forever at his second coming. And that last enemy to be abolished is death. Who is on the throne now? Is answered here. That question is answered here. Who's on the throne now until the last day? While you're struggling in your soul and body and suffering and going through trials, who is sovereign? Jesus Christ. Do you think that He will forget you? That He will leave you or forsake you? Not love you, not care for you? Beloved, He gave up heaven to come here and die for you on the cursed cross so that you may live in Him. He will never forget you. And He promises that Romans 8, He will not leave you nor forsake you. There is nothing in all creation that will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He is always praying for you. He's always pleading for you. He's always living for you, always ruling for you, as it shows here, because He is the King of all kings. And so all are in subjection to Him. You come to verse 29. What will those do who are baptized for the dead? You have questions. I have questions. Whatever this baptism for the dead is, many speculate. We should not speculate. The Scriptures are not clear what it is. We know at least Paul is not as concerned with it, for he doesn't really describe it. He is more concerned with the central part of the gospel, that is the resurrection. That's what he's talking about here. He's still defending and arguing for the truth and necessity for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That whatever they were doing in the Corinthian church, doing with baptism for the dead, it contradicted their saying that there was no resurrection of the dead. And so they're in their actions and words contradicting themselves. And then Paul brings up his own sacrifices, his own sufferings. If he was going through such struggles just to go through them, then what profit is there if the dead are not raised? Why do that? Why go through those sufferings? Why be his back lashed 39 times? And it goes on, you know, when he talks about that in earlier in this book. Why would he go through all of that? But if there's no profit in it because the dead are not raised, then it's meaningless. Let's rather stop the suffering. Let's rather eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do you remember the verse from Isaiah that we just read that? Paul's quoting that verse. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If the dead are not raised, let's do whatever we want because we're going to die anyway. Let's do whatever we want because there's no resurrection, there's no hope. But now Paul calls them in us to the opposite. Let us live holy lives for Christ Jesus, who did rise from the dead, and because in Christ the dead are raised. The dead who are in Christ are raised. So let us do all for Him. That even means suffering, going through tough times, struggles, pain for Christ. He even exhorts the Corinthians and us to put around ourselves godly men and women so we would be spurred on to holiness. That even though we are in the midst of suffering, we'll be continuing to pursue righteousness and not fear man. And so he says we must stop sinning so that the message of the gospel and the message of the resurrection in the gospel goes forth. That the dead in Christ are raised. And so the resurrection, here he's calling us to keep our eyes focused exactly where they should be, on the coming of Jesus Christ and the consummation of His victory, wherein we will be raised up in our dead bodies from the grave and be given new glorified bodies, which he is about to talk about in the next passage. And so let us keep our eyes focused there on the victory we have in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, to this earth to be born of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. And having a true body and a reasonable soul. And so he was in every way like we are, yet without sin. So that he could be the perfect sacrifice, the perfect atonement for our sins. So that in Christ, as he died on the cross, our sins died in him. And as he rose from the dead, as is true, because it was shown to be true, people saw, over 500 people at one time, saw his resurrected body. Also that we who are in union with him would be raised up from the dead as he was raised, him being the first fruits. And Father, we look forward to that day when our bodies will be raised up from the dead. And as you say in 1 John 4, that there is no fear. There ought not to be any fear of us, so there is no fear in love. The love that you have given us in Christ and the gospel, because we have hope. And so let us not live however we want. Let us not do what is Paul quotes here, let us eat and drink for tomorrow we die. Let us not take on that verse as the verse of our lives. But use it as a rebuke to us that we would live holy lives in Christ Jesus instead. Father, we ask that you would calm our hearts before your throne. Give us peace and hope in your Son Jesus Christ. And yet if there again be any here who do not know you, even though they might be our covenant children and heard the gospel many, many times, we ask that they would not have peace if they are far from you. And you would turn their hearts to you, that they would be granted peace by your Spirit. But let them have no peace until they come to you. Because what awaits them is exactly what we studied this morning in Sabbath school. A hell where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. There is no peace there. And yet you have shown mercy and grace by the sending of your Son, giving us the gospel of Jesus Christ. That if we would but believe and trust and submit to Christ in all things, we would be saved. May that be true of all present here today. And may that be the word that goes out throughout the whole world this day as people and the church, the visible church, gather to worship you. And that there would be many who believe. Father, we ask that you would encourage those who are struggling in their bodies with the word we heard here, a word we'll hear next Lord's Day in the next passage in chapter 15. Of the bodies that we have, even though they might die. Here it says they have fallen asleep, because they will awake again and at the coming of Jesus Christ and be given new glorified bodies which will have no missing hands or legs or eyes or body parts. There will be no pain, no constant struggle with strains and broken bones and cancer. Cause, Father, us to be reminded of your promises here that we will have perfect bodies, glorified bodies. And so let us in this time not worry so much about our bodies, though we ought to care for them and treat them wisely, even when they're hurt, to heal them. But let us care not as much for our bodies, but even sacrifice them now that in, as Paul did, as he describes here, even suffering, bringing on pain, if it means that we would bring the gospel to all, and that by it some might be saved. So let us serve you in all things. Let our chief end be that which we often confess, to glorify you and enjoy you forever. Lord, strengthen us for this task. We cannot do it ourselves. We cannot even be holy as you are holy. In our own good works, even as Christians, we cannot do it ourselves, but we trust in the righteousness of Christ and the Spirit who you have sent into our hearts, work in our hearts, Father, even to bring us to that point where we are sanctified completely on that last day when we enter into glory, that we would be glorified. So do your work now by your Spirit in cleansing us of our sin, putting to death that sin that remains. We pray these things in Jesus' name.